right, so God's plan for success. All right, so what's your responsibility? Key into it. Get a copy of that and listen to it. And let the same grace rest upon you and your household. Amen. So we all flow together as one body. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll be looking at understanding your success plan. And last week, before the Bible week, we talked about the covenant of God. All right, and we'll continue from that teaching. Make sure you get the message. It's free. Feed your spirit. And we'll take our text from Genesis 17, verse 7. It says, "Now we establish my covenant, contract, agreement between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant." And what was the covenant? It said to be a God unto you and to your seed. Give me the NIV, please. Right? To be a God to you and to your what? Descendants. And so that is what the covenant is. That's what a covenant is. A covenant is not a background, is not prosperity, is not healing. The covenant is for God to be what? To be a God, it's for him to be a God to you and your descendants. To be a God. That is the covenant. And when that is in place, every other thing follows. And we must learn to walk in the reality of this covenant, and I will talk about that today. All right? So once that is in place, so this is a lifestyle. This is not a religion. It's not something. So if you are in, you are in. And if you are in, you should be all in. It should be something that should doctor your life. It is something that you walk in. It is something that should saturate your home. It's not, you do not separate your actions in life and your behavior in life and your perspective from the scripture. That is religion. That is religion. So it's a way of life. And so God is saying, you are a Christian, you get born again, you are the seed of Abraham, and the covenant is, I want to be a God to you. It's not interesting how we have managed to isolate everything. You know, we now say, well, we isolate things. We separate our marriage. We separate our children. We separate our career. We separate our business. We separate, and then we separate our faith. No, he's the God of all, and he is your God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's something that God has promised. What that means is that he's promised to be your source. I will be a God to you. I will be your source. I will be your defender. I will be your cheerleader. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is the walk of life. This is what we have believed. I want us to be a covenant church. A church where God is a God to us. Where Jehovah, Elohim, is a God to us. And that means if he's a God to us, I don't have to start worrying about my finances. I don't have to start worrying about my marriage. I don't have to start worrying about my children. He's a God, not just to me, but also to my grandchildren, to my spiritual children, to my descendants. And so this is a walk of life. That's what God is. And let's look at, we read this last week, Psalm 105, verse 13 to 15. Psalm 105, verse 13 to 15. It says, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. He rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. You see that? He was a God to them. This is our reality if we walk in God. This is our reality if we will submit to this way of life. I mean, we had the Bible week, and one of the things I love about Dr. Roberts is that the way he was groomed is different from a typical. We can see in his life, right, what it means to be submerged in the world by two generations, his mother and his grandmother. He was purely raised on the world. It was purely raised in this kind of environment. Right? You and I will call it, the kind of things he talks about, you and I will call it abuse. No wonder we are weak. And he was telling me, Pastor, he said, this stuff works. He said, this stuff works. He said, raise your children on them. He said, when I was 18, I was a multimillionaire. You see, when I was 25, I hired my mother, hired my sister, hired my grandma on payroll till today. It was God that told him what career to choose. Does that make sense? So it works. It works. Now we've learned how to train our mind to believe this stuff. With the kind of thing you've been taught, I cannot should not exist in your dictionary anymore. It should be I won't. Not I cannot. Not I cannot become. Not I cannot do. Do you understand what I'm saying? With what we've been taught, I cannot should not be in your dictionary. It should be I won't. So it works. As long as the children of Israel walked in this covenant, he defended them. As long as they walk in it, you and your family can choose to walk in it. This can become your tradition. You know, I always say that in a home, in a relationship, there are three types of marriages you find. There's a cultural marriage. This is marriage based on the city I'm from. Yeah? I'm from Benin. All right? So I'm Pastor Bola from Ibadan. Yeah? So I'm going to run my marriage based on the way the Benin culture says a man should behave. That is one way. Then there's this traditional way. The Bible calls it the traditions of men. I'm going to run my home based on the way I saw my father run his home. This is where I was brought. Have you seen men like that? Yeah. This is the way my mother used to do it. Seriously? Come on. This is where my father used to do it. So I have to become like my father. Yeah? I think, grow up. You understand? Yeah? Then there's a third one, the Christian way. This is the way the Bible says. So what I'm saying, you determine the culture and the atmosphere that you operate in. You determine what governs you. So what we are saying, be governed by the covenant. As long as they were governed by the covenant, God did his own part. He was a God to them. So he suffered no one to do that. Till today. Surrounded by five hostile nations. Till today, five hostile nations. And yet, 90% of the world's diamond is cut in that small strip. I've never seen where orchard grows out of rock in my entire life. You need to go. And we are going. We are going on a pilgrimage, 2020. Yeah? Praise the Lord. And that's the promise. That's the promise. Now, let's look at how we fulfill this. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Are you blessed? You feed your mind with this stuff. You meditate upon it. You teach others. You teach your family. It's your way of life. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you shall live. I love the New Living Translation. It says, if you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. Oh, Pastor, I remember when I came to UK many years ago, and someone said, oh, Pastor, you know, you don't understand things that, no, I wasn't a pastor then. A colleague was saying that, oh, you know, in this nation, it's very hard, it's very tough. I told Pastor, but I said, Pastor, but I said, these guys, I said, we don't hang around them. They're not our friends. They're not our friends. We don't want to hang around them. Our covenant says this, if you are willing and obedient. If I am willing and obedient to the terms of the covenant, according to the word of God, I will eat the good of this land. And I have, and still is. If I am willing and obedient, right, I will eat the good of this land. My career is in this land. My economy is in this land. My children are raised in this land. My taxes are in this land. I will eat the good of this land. I don't have to suffer career crisis. I don't have to. I don't have to suffer career crisis. I don't have to suffer marital crisis. I don't have to suffer family crisis. I don't have to. It's a part of the good of my land. I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to be broke. I don't have to. I don't have to suffer. If I am willing and obedient to the terms of this covenant, I shall eat the good of this land. And I have lived in two nations outside my birth country. I have lived in two nations outside my birth country. And so I know that this works. Church, you cannot create opportunities for yourself. He said, a great and effective door has been what? Opened to me. Doors need to be opened to you. Doors need to be opened to you. But doors will not be opened to you if you are not willing and obedient to the terms of the covenant. It means that you will have to try to open every door. And that's what most people do. They say the struggles continues. On this account, I choose to be a lazy guy. Let me just stick to the terms of the covenant. If I tell you how many doors have been opened to me throughout my career in the corporate, in the industries and niches that I know nothing about. Nothing about. And I'm telling you, the doors open, then I go train. The one who is not willing to be obedient to the covenant, you go train. After I spend all that money on training, there's still no door. There's still no door. How many doors? If you are not willing to operate the terms of the covenant, then you're going to live life by trial and error. Even if you succeed, it's a fluke. There's no guaranteed repetition. This stuff, I can sit down and transfer it to my children. My friend, come. Sit down. Let me instruct you on how to succeed. If you run your life on fluke, how? How? I'm saying this is what God has called us to. Let's forget our old experiences. Let's settle in on this, on the covenant of God. Give the word first place in your life. That's what he's saying. Life and living not according to culture, not according to tradition, but according to God says the word. And you can live like that. You can. Especially as adults. You can. Sometimes nobody cares about you, you know, apart from your pastor. It's true. Sometimes, oh, my friends, my family, oh, my friends. When the going gets tough, look behind you. When the going gets tough, look behind you. So at the end of the day, it's you and your household. It's you and your household. If anything happens to you, people can come and weep with you and cry with you. If you're under financial pressure, right? Even if they say, let us help you pay your mortgage for a month. How about the second month? How about the third month? The best they can do, they call it, they sympathize with you. Is that money? Can you take sympathy to the bank? Can you take it to the shop? I mean, 1997, when we came into UK, we got home, and I did a job, an odd job. They gave us a check. You know the story. Pastor Bola paid the check into the bank. I was going to cash it, but she said she knew better because she is the one with the passport. So So I trusted her. So, but guess what? So when we came back home and we sat down, there was no money. I mean, we were out, and that has only happened twice. Okay, maybe thrice. Okay, I remember, okay, maybe four times. Okay, maybe about four. Okay, I think I remember the fifth one. So on this occasion, we came back, we sat in our one bedroom, a room in the house, we sat down, and we're asking ourselves, so what are we going to do now? What are we going to eat this weekend? I mean, no money. I mean, zero. No money. I want a toddler and a baby. And as we're still pondering, I mean, this was 97. This is not the Acts of the Apostles. This is England, 1997. Not Acts of the Apostles. I'm not telling you about Acts of the Apostles. No. I said, both of us. As we sat there looking at her, I said, she was feeling sorry for herself, and I was angry, to say the least. I was upset, and because why did I even listen? Why did I even listen and put the check in, And there was a knock on the door. Opened the door, and it was this set of twins, Pastor Kenny and Taiwo. And they came in their white their shorts, and I just love them. I said, wow. And I said, oh, meet my friends. We grew up together. I said, wow. And they came with this. They came with no shopping. You know how you are broke and then shopping. I just, in fact, I say, how are you? I was looking at their hands. I'm telling you. I look at their hands. First, I was in shock. That is, Lord, so you won't even allow us pray? You want to allow us pray? Church, just stop gimmicks. Stop gimmicks. Now, I am not DIY oriented. Those of you know, if anything happens in my house, we just throw it away and buy a new one. Yeah, and I don't know how to do DIY. It's just, some of you, I'm not wired like that. I just can't. If you have to do anything DIY, I just don't have the patience for it. I don't have the patience for anything. I just don't have the patience for it. I don't know how to. I think I can be good if I can just calm down. But actually, I have attention. But I've always owned up to that. Now what is that? I just can't. And so we moved from Thamesmead. We moved from East London to Thamesmead, and then that night, we managed to move, and the family was hungry, and I went to buy this second-hand cooker, but there's a problem. We were hungry. How do we fix the cooker? One, we don't have money to call anyone to fix it. So what do we do? So that Saturday we moved at about 5 or 6 o'clock. I think about 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, and I was still there. So what are we going to eat now? I said, this is a new area, so I don't really know this. I don't know this area very well. I said, okay. Can you fix the gas? I said, yeah, I'll fix the gas. So I looked at it like, I can't fix this thing. And the devil was telling me, if you connect this thing and it and it explodes, what are you going to say? What are we going to do now? Okay. So while we're still panting and boring and what am I going to do? I'm like, the doorbell went off. It was this same guy. Showed up with plates, pans, food. And he said, I said, how did you know him? I said, we just moved. He said, yes, I know. He said, I was in a party. I went to a party in North London. This is Thamesmead. He said, at that party, somebody just mentioned your name. And I started eavesdropping. And that's how I found out that you moved, that I'm moving today. So I left the party immediately, went to get all this stuff, because I thought, You may need food. I said, well, not only food. You know what they say, if you give a man fish, you fish him. But if you teach him how to fish, I say, the cooker, can you fix the cooker? He said, oh yeah. Okay, oh, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. I said, no. 5 minutes, it was done. I said, my wife and I, our family, 1997, British, England. Britain, England. Not Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, 5. No. So at least that's current. Do you understand? So I'm saying, the Bible says so. I am telling you our story. You should live like that. Yeah? Now, Genesis 24. Let us look at the resulting effect of Abraham's walk in the covenant. Let's look at that. God gives us his ways. Our job is to walk in it. The covenant is the ways of God. Let the ways of God be your culture. Let the ways of God be your culture. That is my charge to you and I as a church, everyone under the sound of my voice. Let the ways of God be your culture. I'm telling you. Let the ways of God be your culture. As an adult, listen very carefully. You have sole decision over, you have sole rights over your decision. Don't please anybody. Don't live for anyone. Live for you and your God. Don't play games. If you play games, you will pay for it. Let your yes be yes. I don't know what fun you want out of life. I don't know what fun. I have fun. I don't know what you call fun. Getting what you want in life when you need it, for me, that's fun. I've done 2 relocations in my lifetime. I don't know what's fun to you. So don't allow anybody, anyone put you under pressure and then you start playing games with your faith. Saying what, you know, say, stop lying, stop cheating, stop all the nonsense. Because listen very carefully, you're not under pressure. You're not under pressure. You can leave out the word of God. Nobody's paying your bills. So you don't have to suck up to anybody and then start, don't even allow your friends or your acquaintances to put you under pressure. You don't need it. You don't need it. You live for yourself. Be comfortable in your own skin. Do live God's way. Life according to the covenant. Genesis 24, verse 34 to 35. Look at Abraham's servant. He said, this is somebody else's testimony. He said, so he said, I am Abraham's servant, he explained. The Lord has greatly blessed my master. This is somebody's testimony of someone who walked in the way of God. So what's your testimony? That this person says he's a Christian, but she's very crooked. What's your testimony? A church goer, but you can never believe every word he says or she says. What's your testimony? What's your testimony? That every time they hire this person, every time they hire you, we double our budget for stationery because you can't stop stealing pens and pencils. What's your testimony? What's your testimony? That you cannot be trusted. That you say, I'm coming, when you're actually going. I mean, what is that nonsense about? What's your testimony? That we can't believe your word. That you spoke by yourself. What is the problem? Look at the testimony. The Lord has greatly blessed my master. He has become. He was not like that before. He has become. That should be your testimony. Look at what this man has become. He's a man of character and integrity. Look at what this employee has become. Trustworthy. We can rely on this staff. We are looking for somebody to do this kind of project. We can trust this one. Look at what they have become. We knew when he joined this organization, and we knew how hard he works in this organization. Look at what he has become. He's a hard-working, trustworthy individual. Look at what he has become. I am happy to write his reference. Oh, we are sorry to see him go. We are sorry to see her go. This is what he became. This is what she became in our organization. He came in as an assistant manager, came in as a supervisor, and she worked her way to the top as a manager. Selfless, trustworthy, always a team player. This is what he became here. This is what she became here. What's your testimony? Oh, wow. She came here. My goodness. Oh, good riddance to bad rubbish. Oh, I'm so happy to see the back of her. Oh, she's so lazy. The last to come and the first to go to leave. What are they saying about you? What's your testimony? What's your testimony? And they bring out your reference. And then they have to think twice before they pen anything down. You know? You put all of them under pressure because you are an individual with a questionable character. So we have to scratch our head to look for how to describe you. Yes, yes. And yet on Sunday, church. Sunday church. You see? Will you hire this person again? Oh God. What do you think we should write here? They spend 15 minutes filling out your appraisal form because there's no testimony, no impact, no visibility. Just come, show up, take money, go, come, show up, take money, go, come, show up, take money, go. At the end of the day, say, I don't like them in this place. No, they don't like you too. 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 Because you lazy, never contribute anything. You know, the JD they gave you, that's how you presented it. They don't add anything to it. They don't remove from it, and they gave it back. You know what? Just goes back. Not hot, not cold. Just float in and float out and float in and float out. Yeah. But here we come to the house of God. We are excited. We dance and we sing and then we roll so vocal. And but that's where it stops. That's not a testimony. It's not a testimony. I said, the Lord has given him flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle, a fortune in silver and gold, and many male and female servants and camels and donkeys. Look at what God gave him, not what he prayed for. Look at what God gave him. Look at what God gave him because he walked in the way of God. Look at what God gave him. We spent 90 minutes on our knees asking God, oh, please give me, oh, give me, oh, give me, oh, give me. Give me a better job. Give me a better house. Give me a better car. Give me a better. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. My friend, if you are full of gimmick, he will give you. That's not how it works. And then you don't get what you want. You go for another fake prophet who is in the same genre as you. Fake meets fake. Yeah. Fake disciple meets fake prophet. Wow. Nice party. You know what I'm saying? Walk in the covenant. You'll go somewhere where they will just give you an empty, flattery prophecy. And say, amen. Don't you see? No, you'll be saying that amen. Nothing has changed. Take your money, give you empty prophecy. You say, amen. You'll be saying, amen. Conference upon conference upon conference upon conference. You are low in cash. Spend all your money. Listen very carefully. Until you walk in the covenant, nothing changes. And no pastor, apostle, bishop, nothing. No one can do that for you. No one. I wish the body of Christ would just wake up. there are some things you can never outsource. Walking in the covenant is one of them. Rise to your feet and let us pray.